take one.
What do you play, John? Just play what you play.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't know how your summer's going. Mine is going fantastically. Super rainy here on the east coast of the United States of America. It's been super hot. But it's also been super green and clear and beautiful. The rain kind of makes it extra green, extra clear. I've been doing a lot of driving, visiting a lot of people. One of the things I was interested in is getting some great podcasts to listen to on these long drives. And I found this podcast called Producing the Beatles. So you're listening to a podcast about a podcast. Right? We should all go kill ourselves. Except for this great podcast. I just love this. There's 9 episodes. They come out sporadically. And I just thought, I've got to do whatever I can do to make people listen to this thing. Not that the guy needs my help. It's fantastic. So you're going to hear me now talk to Jason Krupa, the host and creator and producer of this amazing Producing the Beatles podcast. If you are a casual music fan, you'll love this. I don't need to tell you. It's the Beatles, right? I have a strange relationship with the Beatles music, but because I was so... It was so ubiquitous through my whole life. I don't take it for granted, but maybe I'm a little burnt out on it. But whenever I go back to it, it's always exciting. So I hope you'll get a little bit of that from this. I'll talk to you soon. Hope your summer's going great. Enjoy this chat with Jason Krupa. Okay, there are the Beatles. Obviously, it's the Beatles. Jason Krupa joins us. Producing the Beatles is the podcast. Producingthebeatles.com is the website. Welcome. I'm very excited to talk to you. This thing, I gobbled this up like, a guy who ate a whole birthday cake. And, I just could not help myself. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very gratifying to hear.
The first question I have to ask you, and I would imagine this is the first thing off everybody's mind, is you. It seems like you have unprecedented access to the archives. Am I right?
No. This has been sort of the end result of about 20, 25 years of just collecting bootlegs, really, and working with other people who are much better than I am at deconstructing electronically deconstructing mixes with various computer programs and all sorts of, magical shenanigans that I don't quite understand. I do a little of it myself, but Steve Benson is the guy who, I go to, who's really done, I think, foundational work in terms of just deconstructing Beatles mixes and being able to pull elements out. And for me, for what I'm doing for this, it's just so good to be able to focus in on these little elements and say, this is how they built this. So it's a combination of bootlegs and of which there's a ton of material out there. We're really spoiled as Beatles fans and Beatles scholars. Yeah, so I wish I had access to the archives. I can only imagine.
Yeah, you just totally blew my mind because, everybody's heard tons and tons of Beatle bootlegs, but what you're doing is splitting these things into pieces that it seemed to me that would be impossible without access to the original multi-track recording. So, boom, you already blew my mind. So, as I've described to our listeners, you sort of look at how the Beatles made these records, and you're really looking at what George Martin added to the process, and you use some very specific examples. You break things down. You have musicians play certain parts and sort of build them back up together. So you really, really get an amazing picture of what George Martin did to help this creative thing become a record. Do you think that George Martin does not get his due? Is that why you felt moved to put this whole thing together?
I had years ago, I had started researching his life and his career, because really the books that he wrote were not very informative. They were very casual, very kind of conversational, and not really heavy on any kind of research or facts. And once I started scratching, it just got into a deeper and deeper project. And I realized that nobody had really taken on this aspect of the Beatles story. And it is, the Beatles story is a great story. This is sort of the great story within the story that nobody's bothered to look at. Maybe that's because production is such an elusive thing, or what goes on in the studio is difficult to describe or difficult to understand unless you're sort of in that world. So I thought, it's an interesting way of taking this on, and just given all this material, I thought, this is a good way to approach this. And I have to give credit to Tim Riley, who's a friend of mine. He's another Beatle writer. A few years ago, he said, you should do a podcast. You have all this material. This is the perfect outlet for that. And at the time, I hadn't listened to a single podcast. I had no idea, what I sort of knew what they were, but I didn't have any idea how to approach this. So I started listening to a few, and I thought, okay, I kind of have a good handle on how I'd want to do this, and just sort of found my way through it from there.
It's hard to play the hypothetical game, but I think the first Beatles session was produced by Ron Richards. If they had stayed with Ron Richards, would they not be the Beatles? Would they not, would their life be that different?
Certainly. George Martin brought something to them that, I was thinking about this the other day. They had an intuitive grasp of music. They had an intuitive, sort of understanding of how they wanted to express themselves. And he brought this kind of studied intellectual element that, the rest of them more or less picked up on. I think Paul was probably the one who connected with that most strongly. But I think he connected with, John and George and Ringo in their own ways too. Ron Richards, he was a good producer, produced the Hollies, but, he just didn't have that same aesthetic. He didn't have that same background. I mean, George Martin was really kind of a tinkerer in the studio. And I'll be covering that in a future episode, probably a couple episodes, in how he really learned to use the studio in a unique way that no other producer in Britain did, and arguably no other producer in America did. I mean, there are a couple of people who sort of in the ballpark, but I don't think anybody had the approach to the studio in a commercial sense that he did.
What does the chatter on the tapes tell you about their personalities that maybe you didn't know, or what does it, how does it inform you in a way that they're simple personalities that, we all know the Beatles, but as you sort of get inside and hear them working, what does that tell you about their personalities?
They were egging each other on, as you would expect them to do. They spent so much time together, and they're so up each other's noses that they're encouraging each other. I read something once about the press conferences where someone said, they all seem so charming, but there were four people there, and they would pick up on each other. So somebody would say something, and then somebody would say something else, and they'd sort of amplify that. And, it was like this four-cornered brain where they're all sort of encouraging each other and taking another's ideas and making it the best it can be. So, there's that. And I think if we could hear the actual tapes, all the session tapes, I think we would hear a lot more of that give and take. At one point, once they'd quit touring and once they'd dedicated themselves to the studio, they're just rehearsing, creating, trying new ideas out on tape. So it's they walk in and they've got an idea, and then it just develops as they record. That to me is incredibly fascinating. And I don't know that I was necessarily surprised by that, but it always makes me smile when I hear some new little snippet of chatter, whether it's, just some snarky remark, or whether it just shows their warmth and their intimacy and how much they were, so strongly connected to each other.
My daughter, who's 14, said something sort of funny as we were listening. She said, I think they've mentioned Brian Wilson more than they've mentioned Ringo in the podcast. that may be a slight exaggeration, but let's talk about Ringo, because I love Ringo.
Sure.
And sometimes Ringo gets a raw deal. What do you learn about Ringo in this process of putting this together?
He's not really on the tapes that much. He's here, you know, here and there. But yeah, I've always held that he's a fantastic drummer. Whenever people run him down, I, you know, try to come to his defense, because he's not flashy, but you know, you listen to something like A Day in the Life or Rain or, you know, any number of songs where it's just such a creative part. And I'm not a drummer, but, you know, I can recognize, you know, great work, intuitive work. You know, from the outside, people think, oh, you know, he wasn't very creative and he wasn't this or he wasn't a songwriter. But, you know, that's outside. Which you, when you're inside a group of people, I think it's a much, much different thing. You know, that dynamic is a very private thing that we can't really see into. But, you know, in as much as he was a great drummer, I think he was also a great part of that four-piece group, just those four people.
To me, there's no people who say anything bad about Ringo are just wrong, you know.
It's just like you don't get it. Yeah.
I just want to remind folks that Jason Krupa is our guest and his podcast is called Producing the Beatles. You can find it at producingthebeatles.com. Over at Facebook, there's a Producing the Beatles page, and it's easy to find where you find your own podcast. The episode so far, there's one about producing, sort of in quotes, the Let It Be album, because it was supposed to be sort of a non-produced record, but although it turns out they sort of abandoned that as they sort of got along. There's a whole episode about very speeding, about recording things at one speed and playing them back at another. There's an episode about the early singles. There's a whole episode that's just about the clarinet score for When I'm 64. There's two parts about multi-track recording and how they had to bounce things down, and then they went from, you know, 4 to 8 to 16 track. There's an episode about the Eleanor Rigby string section, and there's one solely about the piano solo from the song In My Life. And the newest episode is all about the three versions of Revolution that they recorded and how that song evolved. All super interesting, all different parts of the Beatles' recorded history spectrum. What's coming next, and how long does it take to put together an episode?
It varies. Sometimes it's very quickly. Sometimes, like this one, has taken quite a bit of time because there were so many moving parts. At one point, I had 14 tracks I was mixing just for a little 10-second snippet, just to demonstrate an idea. So it took me quite a while just to sort of figure out how I was going to do that, how I wanted that to work. So, you know, if I didn't have anything else to do, and who doesn't have anything else to do, I would be able to knock one of these out in 2 or 3 weeks. But as it is, I have to kind of do it between day job stuff and, you know, just having a life. So, yeah, it varies. I wish I could put them out every other week, but it's, you know, it's a lot of work. I'm a one-man operation, so I have to write the script, I have to record it, I have to put together all the sound clips, I have to mix it, you know, just sort of get an idea. And then I go back and I re-edit and re-record some things and move things around. And
yeah, it's very clear that the research level you are doing is super deep, and you're using archival interviews, and you're having people transcribe the scores and replay them and break them down, and you're looking at record company files, and you're talking to musicians and looking at old press clippings, and you're kind of getting that all together is absolutely remarkable. Let's end where we sort of began. Because you are not doing this with the Beatles' cooperation, as I assumed you were, because of the level of detail, is that a problem? Has anyone gotten in touch with you to tell you something good or bad?
No one has said anything yet. I expect that may happen at some point, but nothing yet. And I'm very careful not to play too much of the clips that I'm playing, because, you know, I mainly want to demonstrate. I'm not doing a radio show. I'm not doing I don't need to play full tracks. That stuff is out there. It's available. You can hear that. What I want to demonstrate is how things are put together. And I, you know, I also want to talk about larger ideas about creativity and music and production and how collaboration works. Those are all sort of subtext of what I'm talking about on this podcast. So it, you know, it's ostensibly about the Beatles, but there's a, you know, there's, it's connected to much larger canvas, much larger ideas.
Interesting. Yeah, well, that's an interesting legal line to walk. And I don't know if the Beatles are litigious or not, or what they're, you know, as an organization, what their deal is. It's so great to hear them evolve as studio users and to hear how the George Martin Beatles relationship evolves. And personally, I do wish that you could devote your whole life to this and not work, because I could use an episode every week or so. It's just, it's absolutely fascinating. You're doing important work, I think. Jason Krupa, thank you so much for visiting with us, and great luck with the podcast. Folks can go to Producing the Beatles for information and subscribe wherever they get their podcast thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Not it.
Moonlight, take one.
Mr. Moonlight. Oh, that. Stop.
Nearly.
Yes, not bad, that one.
Rhythm and Blues, part 9.
1, 2.
You know. Paul forgot to say it.
Take 3.
Take 7.
One, John, 2, 3, 4. Yes.
5.
1, 2, 3, 4. That was wrong.
What's up?
Take 3.
One, two, three, four.
Tell me why. Start again.
What did you do then? You made a mistake.
I know you did.
I'm a loser. Take 1.
1, 2, 1, 2. Because I'll stop at 1, 2, because that's where you'll come in with the mouth open. 1, 2, 1, 2. I forgot.
That's all. 8, take 8.
1, 2, 3, 4. Father me, take 11.
Since she's been gone, I want no one to talk to me.
Hang on, it's tooth going to.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Hold on.
I was out.
Now, I'm just going to raise this so as it's nearer the bass strings than the top string. Paul's broken at last, broken at last, Paul's broken at last, he's broke today. Okay. Oh, are you ready, Macca?
Makes you feel alright. I
I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. 'Cause I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. I'll give you anything, but say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give.
Hey, Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Okay, go. Here we go.
Here it goes, Paul. Sorry, yes, Paul.
Okay, let's try it. Right, Paul, it's on.
It's only right to hand. One, two, three, four.
You don't get me.